Hello and welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. We're doing a book study on this book written by Eckhart Tolle, and we hope you have your copy so that you can follow along. Today we are on Chapter 4, Section 2, Mind Strategies for Avoiding the Now, Ordinary Unconsciousness, and Deep Unconsciousness. My name is Barbara Wainwright, and I am here with Gilda Simonet. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Chapter 4, Mind Strategies for Avoiding the Now. Section 2, Ordinary Unconsciousness and Deep Unconsciousness. And a student asks, what do you mean by different levels of unconsciousness? Eckhart says, as you probably know, in sleep, you constantly move between the phases of dreamless sleep and the dream state. Similarly, in wakefulness, most people only shift between ordinary unconsciousness and deep unconsciousness. What I call ordinary unconsciousness means being identified with your thought processes and your emotions, your reactions, desires, and aversions. It is most people's normal state. In that state, you are run by the egoic mind, and you are unaware of being. It is a state not of acute pain or unhappiness, but of an almost continuous low level of unease, discontent, boredom, or nervousness, a kind of a background static. You may not realize this because it is so much part of normal living, just as you are not aware of a continuous low background noise, such as the hum of an air conditioner, until it stops. When it suddenly does stop, there's a sense of relief. Well, most people use alcohol, drugs, sex, food, work, television, or even shopping as anesthetics in an unconscious attempt to remove the basic unease. When this happens, an activity that might be very enjoyable if used in moderation becomes imbued with a compulsive or addictive quality, and all that is ever achieved through it is extremely short-lived symptom relief. So what he's saying here is when your mind is running, when your thought processes are running, when you're in tune with your emotions and your reactions, your desires and your aversions, in other words, your egoic mind is working on things, that is what he is calling ordinary unconsciousness.
The unease of ordinary unconsciousness turns into the pain of deep unconsciousness, the state of more acute and more obvious suffering or unhappiness. When things go wrong, when the ego is threatened or there is a major challenge, threat, or loss, real or imagined, in your life situation, or conflict in a relationship, it is an intensified version of the ordinary unconsciousness, different from it, not in kind, but in degree.
But if they're in this deep unconsciousness, that's when outrageous behavior can occur. I'm guessing. Let's see what Eckhart says. In ordinary unconsciousness, habitual resistance to or denial of what is creates the unease and discontent that most people accept as normal living. When this resistance becomes intensified through some challenge or threat to the ego, it brings up intense negativity such as anger, acute fear, aggression, depression, and so on. Deep unconsciousness often means that the pain body has been triggered and that you have become identified with it. Physical violence would be impossible without deep unconsciousness. It can also occur easily whenever and wherever a crowd of people or even an entire nation generates a negative collective energy field. As we're on our spiritual journey, it's a good time to start identifying, are the people that we're associating with, are they experiencing ordinary unconsciousness? Are they enlightened? Are they good for us to be around? Do they pull us down into their deep unconsciousness if we hang out with them? So those are things that I think anybody being on a journey like this, those are things that we should be aware of and consider.
I love that. The best indicator of your level of consciousness is how you deal with life's challenges when they come. Through those challenges, an already unconscious person tends to become more deeply unconscious, and a conscious person more intensely conscious. You can use a challenge to awaken you, or you can allow it to pull you into even deeper sleep. The dream of ordinary unconsciousness then turns into a nightmare. And that is so true.
Right? Oh my gosh. So true. Again, it comes back to being aware of your friends, your family, even your people that you need to deal with and associate with on a daily basis, you know, people that you work with, identifying if they are ordinarily unconscious or if they are deeply unconscious, and encouraging them. I mean, if you have to spend time with somebody who's unconscious, then you can encourage them to take a deep breath and just feel the energy of their breathing and the life force energy flowing through them. And if they can stay with you while you're taking them into a deep breathing experience where they're becoming very present in the moment, noticing the breath and how it impacts the body and how it feels as the energy flows in their body, the air and the oxygen and the energy all flowing through their body. If someone can stay with you while you walk them through that, then they can become enlightened. However, if you are with somebody and they're getting into that deeply unconscious state and they can't hear you say, it might be good if you just took a few deep breaths right now to calm, you know, to get calm and present. If they can't hear you say that, run. Oh my God, because they're not going to get present. They're dangerous. You need to leave and get out of the situation.
That's so true too. Cause the friend that I was talking about last week, where I was trying to teach them about presence and such.
Yeah.
It got to the point where I was just like, are you really unconscious? Or like, are you messing with me?
And that's what happens when somebody is deeply unconscious and they're up against a challenge. Typically, somebody who's deeply unconscious like that gets aggressive and you just want to be away from them. Now, if they're only ordinary unconsciousness, then then you can maybe walk them through some deep breaths and have them get present and then resolve whatever it is from a place of peace of mind and peace of heart, peace of being. And then you can come up with solutions that are amazing that you most likely would never have thought of if you had still been in that state of deep unconsciousness. Really important work to be able to raise your awareness, especially in a moment that's challenging, to raise your awareness to the point where you go, okay, I just need to take a few deep breaths and get myself centered and calm and be very present. And now I can find a really great solution. That takes a level of awareness that somebody who is completely identified with their egoic mind most likely doesn't have. If you cannot be present, even in normal circumstances, such as when you are sitting alone in a room, walking in the woods, or listening to someone, then you certainly won't be able to stay conscious when something goes wrong, or you're faced with difficult people or situations with the loss or the threat of loss. You'll be taken over by a reaction, which ultimately is always some form of fear and pulled into deep consciousness. Those challenges are your tests. Only the way in which you deal with them will show you and others where you are at as far as your state of consciousness is concerned, not how long you can sit with your eyes closed or what visions you see.
So it is essential to bring more consciousness into your life in ordinary situations when everything is going relatively smoothly. In this way, you grow in presence power. It generates an energy field in you and around you of high vibrational frequency. No unconsciousness, no negativity, no discord or violence can enter that field and survive, just as darkness cannot survive in the presence of light.
That's beautiful and a great practice. So he's saying if you practice your presence power, when things are good, when things get a little shaky, you'll have that experience to lean into so that you can transmute any energy that comes into your field, your energy field. I love that. It's really beautiful.
It's so true, because even right now, like through my whole spiritual awakening process, I find myself experiencing a lot of inner turmoil, which I guess is a natural occurrence through the process. And it's just like he says.
When you learn to be the witness of your thoughts and emotions, which is an essential part of being present, you may be surprised when you first become aware of the background static of ordinary unconsciousness and realize how rarely, if ever, you are truly at ease within yourself. On the level of thinking, you will find a great deal of resistance in the form of judgment, discontent, and mental projection away from the now. On the emotional level, there will be an undercurrent of unease, tension, boredom, or nervousness. Both are aspects of the mind in its habitual resistance mode. I love Eckhart Tolle. I love his work, and I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to share it with so many people. We have over 300,000 downloads now, and that says to me that we're being of service, and I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
Well, that's all we've got for this week. We'll see you next week. Bye now.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation and perhaps even earn a credential as a certified spiritual coach, we encourage you to go to our website, lifecoachtrainingonline.com, and check out our courses, or give us a call at 800-711-4346.